Hey, hi there, and welcome everyone to the Mel and Ellen Show, coming to you on BBS Radio every other Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock PST time. And my co-host Ellen is in Florida, so 4 o'clock your time. Welcome to today's show. Ellen, how are you doing back there?
We're great. It's beautiful. It's paradise. I'm home.
Yay!
And we're good.
So much to be thankful for as we move through all these different stages and ages, you know?
Yeah.
And being home, I know for you is one of them. Being home for me is one of them. It's a beautiful fall out here. I hope it's a beautiful fall for all of you, wherever you are listening to us and enjoying today's show, which the topic is going to be detours along the spiritual path. And I know that we sort of, Ellen and I, we do talk to each other. Good to know.
Yes.
But we have a harmony, you know, you're just in sync with some people. So we decided on the topic for the show, and we have not had any other conversation about it since. Because that's just the way we operate, you know, that's part of what intuition is. That's part of one of the functions, and being in harmony with the spirit, I think, is also part of one of those functions. But it occurred to me as we were getting close to airtime, showtime, that you know, the spiritual path itself means so many different things to different people. And I thought that before we got into talking about the detours, and we'd love to have you call in and let us know about your spiritual detours, your spiritual path. I'll be giving the call-in number here pretty soon. So please think about that and be prepared to do that. But I wanted to ask you about it. I mean, I thought, wow, you know, again, the spiritual path is so many different things, I think, to so many different people. We don't call it paths, plural. We always say spiritual path. I always read spiritual path. Got any takes, feelings, insight on what it is for you and what's going on for you when you think about that?
Wow. Big question. And you're right. I have never seen it written as path. Plural, that everybody has their own understanding of what that means, and so there really are many paths. Interesting. Yes. Actually, Mark and I, my husband and I, have sat down and talked about it at great length, because you have to know that you're both on the same page when you're going through. And you're going to laugh when I say this, but for us, when we live unconventionally, when we live different from the norms of what is prescribed by your teachers, your elders, your peers as what is normal, we do very well. And when we do things as we are, as prescribed by society, we usually don't do very well. And the best way I can explain that is leaving the road right now and coming home was one of the gifts that was given to us by Spirit. Spirit said, yes, go home. Now's the time, and go ahead. And in normal convention, we left two good paying jobs to come home to no job, and to begin to pick up the threads of our lives here and fix a house that had gone unattended for 5 years, and with really no understanding of where the next financial paycheck would come from to move us forward. There's always my gift, which is what I've been called to do, my teaching. And people would be aghast. They would just go, well, you can't do that. You need to keep your job. This is a time of very hard economic depression, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't be happier. I absolutely couldn't be happier to be here. And as always, when you hold on to spirit's hand, doors are open, gifts come, money is always there, and that takes you back to what you love, and the money will follow. And so many people say, yes, but, and I was one of them. That's one of the diversions we'll talk about. But this time when I was given the go, we came, and it's been a very interesting ride.
I love what you said, because I think it at a really core level, it embodies walking the spiritual path, because it is about trust to a huge degree. It's wanting to, you know, I was thinking about it. I sometimes say to people, there are many paths up and down the mountain, but it's the same mountain. And you know, some of us get to wear some of them down pretty good, so we could probably go up and down blindfolded, but that's probably another story for another day, although perhaps part of the detour. But I think it does really embody what you said, the spiritual path, is that trusting that you're going to be in harmony. I thought about it. I thought about all the different things, why it's path. I think the spiritual path is that striving to be in harmony with the divine, the one, the more, the source, God, Tao. I all these names popped up. I think that's part of it. Some part of the confusion, maybe, or maybe it's not confusion. Maybe it's just diversity, and that's a great way to look at it. And that daily striving, perhaps the spiritual path is, as you said, that daily trusting, striving every day to live in harmony with those spiritual principles that are embodied in the spiritual path, regardless of what your particular, the minutiae, the particular dogma, or the particular processes are. There are some things that seem to be very common to all of them, and that striving to be in harmony with that feeling, you know, that feeling that I certainly was overwhelmed by when I was about 12, 13 years old, laying on my back in the grass, looking up at the heavens in a very rural part of California at the time. And looking up at the stars and absolutely knowing, and that this amazing feeling comes over me, absolutely knowing that there's something out there, there's something up there. And then the striving begins to find out, to get on that path, to find out, to be in harmony with that. And then all the trips that we take to get there. I love, do you think, you really triggered something for me. So the spiritual path, you know, 5 years living in you know, not the conventional normal lifestyle that most of us think of, you and Mark together on the road for 5 years, and then coming home, so, and that now being at home, guided by the spirit to come home, just in faith, trust that the spiritual path was still on the road, right?
No.
Okay.
No, and that's a part of the spiritual path is staying open and listening. And I've always said to my clients, when it's easy, it's right. When it's hard, it's wrong. And yes, we have hard moments in life. I don't mean that. But when you feel like every day that you're getting up and you're pounding your head into a brick wall, and everything you touch doesn't work well, something's changed and you need to sit down and pay attention, because you're still going in a direction that you started and something has shifted. So when it became clear to me that we could come home, when that question, everything pushed in that direction. We got routed into Salt Lake City, so which is where we needed to go to turn the truck in. Our time had been cut, our money had been cut back by cutting our miles. Our driver managers kept getting shifted. Things that had been running smoothly and comfortably and everything was fine all of a sudden became almost a daily challenge. Health issues and things like that became apparent too. And the best I connected it to was when we were driving before, way back, and Spirit kept nudging me that we needed to come in from the road, and we were working in the convention, the minutia. I love that, the money was fabulous, and we were one of the top teams, and blah blah blah. And I kept saying to Spirit, "Well, can't we go another month? Can't we go another month?" And this was in the late summer, 2000. And I asked that question, and I said, "Well, can't we go through to November? Because I really wanted to sack the money, you know, that sack
right,
the money."
Right.
Blah, blah. And the answer that came back was dead is dead. And I thought, I guess we need to be off the road before November then. And I don't really, it wasn't said in jest, but, you know, I took that as a very serious, because on the road with the kind of work we were doing, it's real easy to not be here anymore. You slide off the road, there's ice and snow, all that stuff. Well, the interesting part was I was still pushing. I was, you know, being the human that we are, taking control. And in August, I fell, and I broke both bones in my ankle. I hurt my back and my shoulder, and that was it. We were sent home. We were done. And it was because I was ignoring the change that the path had changed. And when I use, because my life is completely spiritual, any path I'm on is my spiritual path.
Right, right.
So that path of driving at that time was where Spirit and I were together. And Spirit kept saying, it's time to change the path. And I kept saying, but I want to sit here. I want the money. I want the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Spirit said, you need to change. And because I didn't listen, I got moved. And so Spirit came in and changed my path. And so this time in April, when Spirit said you can go home, I said, bye.
Right, exactly.
I'm picking up my stuff and off we go, because that was one of the biggest, and I guess that's kind of part of this, what we're talking about. How do you deviate from your path? How did you come back to it? You do that once and you do it consciously and you'll never do it again.
Oh, I don't know. I seem to be pretty, I you're hale and hearty and really in touch, because I seem to be a little more stiff-necked and stiff-kneed, maybe I'd say. It takes a little more prodding, perhaps, to... I find it very interesting. We both have the after-the-fall experience. Would you consider the time on the road then a detour, a spiritual detour?
No.
Or a detour on the spiritual path?
No. I consider it a part of the lesson. Because to me, the path is a living thing.
Ooh, nicely put.
It's a living, breathing thing. And as long as we're walking with Spirit, we're growing, we're learning, we're changing, we're evolving, we're coming closer to that oneness. And a lot of times, and that's probably what we'll talk about later, is a lot of times you just feel like you're treading water, you know, or treading the path, or running in place. You're on a treadmill instead of but it's all part of it. And the biggest part, what I think I was saying was the path had changed. It's like a long snaky thing, and it went left and then it went right. And my problem was that I still wanted to keep going left. And Spirit said, no, you got to go right. And I kept saying, no, I want to go left. And Spirit kept saying, you got to go right. And I kept, no, because I wanted to take it in my own hands and say, as you said, stiff neck, stiff knee. And the answer to that was smack. Oh, good, now you're going right. Now we're going
right.
Left. And but it wasn't, I learned so much. I learned so much from all of it, from the fall, from the recuperation, from the being the driver to being in a wheelchair for 5 months. It was an amazing experience, and it made me more spiritual. I don't think that's the right word, but it made me more grateful. Not at the time, I have to say that, but it made me a bigger person. It also, everything that I have done, every rock I have stumbled over, every brook that I've jumped across, every piece of this path has given me the life instruction to sit in my office and talk to people and say, I truly do understand. It was different, but I really understand. And it doesn't matter that this is what Spirit's telling me to do. And I really do understand. And so it gives me that personal, physical involvement that makes us human with a spiritual message.
I really like I really, really appreciate the deep sharing, because I have had a similar path, and I'll use path again. And I know that there are many people who are listening who have had similar, very similar experiences. Like you said, they're not exactly the same, but they bring us at some level to a very similar place. I like what you said. I agree with you. I don't think it's more spiritual. I think that we just learn to be in greater harmony with that energy, because then we're not pushing the river. Then it's not, like you said earlier, when it's not working, if you're working too hard at it, then you're not in the Tao of it, and you need to step back from it. So, because it should flow. And we hear those metaphors everywhere, the other thing I really like about it is that doesn't preclude that daily living is not hard work. but there's a difference. There's a difference in, it's kind of like that working smarter, not harder thing. It's that when you're up against it, and no matter what you do, you can't change. Like you said, I wanted to keep turning left. and it doesn't work, and either you realize that it's not working, and you, as you did this last time, honoring that message and saying, oh, okay, we're done, rather than, no, I just want to keep turning left for a little while longer.
And I think that just comes with experience. And I think I had a very interesting discussion with a gentleman the other night. And it was a real aha moment, because you've heard me say so many times, I use my gift to teach people to connect to Spirit and start their path, or walk their path, or understand that they're walking their path with Spirit. And this man is a very faithful person. I don't want to use the word religious, because that's a whole different connotation. And he said to me, I'd like to sit down with you sometime and have a discussion with you. And I think he was kind of thinking that he wanted a reading, but he didn't really, I understood that. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I thought, people who are faithful, people who are really on a path, their path, don't see people like you and me. Not because there's a stigma, but because they're listening to Spirit and walking in faith.
Excellent point.
And so I said, we'll talk philosophically. We'll sit down and have a beer or two. And have a discussion, but I don't want you to feel that, you need to save it, because I don't think you do.
Right.
So his path is very well defined for him. He knows exactly who he is, where he's standing. He gets the path changes. And I think, as all of us, we all take a few hard knocks before we kind of relinquish that, and we don't relinquish that humanness. We kind of hold on with both hands, going, "But I want this. This is mine." And what is that saying? You plan, God laughs, huh?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. If you want to give God a good laugh, tell him your plans.
That's it. Or angels have wings because they take themselves lightly.
I love that. Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show. This is Ellen Doreen and Melanie Thomas coming to you this Tuesday afternoon. We're talking about detours on the spiritual path. We're kicking around the idea of what the spiritual path is and what it's like to be on it. And we'd sure love to hear what you might have to say. So if you're out there and you have a story to share with us about your path or your detour or both, please give us a call at 888-627-6008. This is BBS, 888-627-6008. That is a toll-free call. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what your experience is. We'll also open up some time, you know, the latter part of the show, so that you can call in and ask us a personal question if you like. This is what we both do for a living, successfully, I might add. And you're available to have a free consult with us over the phone later on in the show. Well, probably about another 20 minutes or so. So, again, the call-in number is 888-627-6008. So please give us a call and share with us. We'd love to hear from you. So I was thinking about the detours. I mean, I like what you said earlier about the path, and I think that's – the path is not a straight – it's not a straight road. Well, it's not a straight road for most of us. I don't know if it's a straight road for anybody. Maybe. I just have never met anybody that's been, you know, that's done the straight road thing. I like the idea. It zigzags. It winds. It turns. It doubles back. It S-curves. It does all that stuff. And I think that we can, I don't know if we can fall off of it.
I think we can.
But I think we can. Yeah, I think we can lose our way. We can get off the path so far that maybe we don't get back, or that it's hard to get back. Or, as you said, in a kind of indirect way, but I think very related to the subject, is that once you does, I think it doesn't matter how far off you get, if you have that aha moment that goes, oh man, this isn't working for me, and you plug back in, you're there. Right. You know, you may have some ground to catch up, but you're there.
Yeah, I have, this sort of is a, what you just said about it being a straight path, or people being on a straight path with no twists and turns and curves and stuff. And I have this really great quote at hand. It's always on my desk, and it's a natural history of the senses. A well-groomed curiosity. The great affair, the great love affair with life is to live as vicariously as possible. To groom one's curiosity like a spirited thoroughbred, climb aboard and gallop over the thick, sun-struck hills every day. Where there is no risk, the emotional terrain is flat and unyielding, and despite all of its dimensions, valleys, pinnacles, and detours, life will seem to have none of its magnificent geography, only length. And why I brought that up was because I have met people who are on a very narrow, very restricted, very ordered path, and they believe that that is their spiritual path. No twists, no turns, no questions, no ups, no downs, just a straight, flat road, and they just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and then can't understand why they're not happy.
Wow, I think that is when you said that, it brought to mind a difference, and the difference is there are some people whose path is very narrow and they're very faithful to it, not religious. Again, you know, we're talking about that living thing, like you said, that living, that live thing, that active thing, that practice, whose practice is very, very narrow, but they have found their bliss in that way, and that's what works for them. I think that they've probably had their zigzags too before they found that path, but it's not the same as what you're describing.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, I was thinking of someone I know very personally, and her path was always the same. There were no questions. Because Spirit doesn't want you to walk without questions, without learning, without growing, without expanding.
Yes.
And so when you walk a path where you go, I'm not going to look at that because that's outside of my realm, and I'm not, when you're not growing, you might be on a path, but you're not, I'm doing this backwards, but I know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You have to grow on your path. And yes, and I think that's what I'm trying to say. You have to take detours and you have to step into different directions and have Spirit help you move you back so that you can recognize that they are. And if you just stay on this flat path and never explore or feel or change or open yourself to new and better things.
I agree. I think that's really well put. It is whether we intend it or not, I mean, the detours do that. I mean, some detours, obviously, we intend, but others, like your fall when you were working, is not an intended detour, but a detour that had a great deal of learning in it, and obviously many gifts to be gleaned from it. And then it goes back to that, well, gee, I would never, and of course you wouldn't, same thing with me after my fall. I would never, ever in my life want to repeat that experience. However, I'm very grateful for the things that came from the gifts that came in the crossroads of it.
Right. Or the crosshairs.
Okay. Crosshairs is good.
Oh, God.
Crosshairs, great. Crosshairs in the crossroads.
Oh, boy. And some of them surely are, you know.
Have you had the detour that, because I was thinking about, you know, like starting down a spiritual path, a definitive one, like I share some of my own past experience. At one point in my life, I was a dedicated and practicing Rosicrucian, and I thought, wow, this is my spiritual path. This is it. And it's a good one. I mean, again, one of those places where it was so enlightening and so expanding to me. And I was part of a small pronaeus that had a great deal of intimacy and wisdom in it. So I was really happy and not too far from San Jose. So I could actually go down to headquarters, if you will, to the Egyptian Museum and the library that you couldn't get in unless you were a member. And the lectures, and I mean, it was just an awesome thing. And then that ended. And then that detour, it was a kind of a detour. That's one of the things I think that a detour on my spiritual path was. I've had a whole lot of them, but it falls into the category that you were talking about, that without getting out and exploring and checking it out and finding out, you know, it's like following that butterfly, for a ways. Or what did Alice in Wonderland follow something in the
down the rabbit hole? But I can't.
Yeah,
remember
she
what
followed
it was.
The rabbit, right? She was following the rabbit. I mean, without following those things, we don't have those experiences. I learned so much. It only was probably a three year run.
Yeah,
but,
what brought you off of that path? I'm curious. An aha moment somewhere.
I was scheduled to do deliver a message in Sacramento, to a gathering in Sacramento. And as I dived deeper into the research of the origins and some of the beginnings, I wasn't happy with them, and I didn't. It was an aha for me, and it was like, wow, I loved the teaching, I love the people, most beautiful, beautiful people, some of the most beautiful people I've ever been associated with in my life, but it was not my path,
yeah.
And suddenly that realization that this is way too narrow for me. I don't want to stay on this.
Yeah, I lost you for just a second. So I missed some of that.
Well, it was a, where did you lose me?
you were saying how much you liked the people, but as you delved into the information, you didn't like what you were seeing, and it was the turning point, and I think that was where I lost you for a minute.
Just way too narrow for me. I just realized how narrow it was, and that was not going to be. And you know, there were some hopeful people that thought that I could move up, so to speak, and lead a local chapter or whatever. But and so there was a lot of disappointment when I left, and I was so sorry for that. That was painful in my heart. But the path was too narrow, and eventually I would have just not liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, the. It's not really, you know, it's not dogma in the sense that we think of you know, the dogmatic tenets of different belief systems, but it was.
It was, yeah.
You know?
That's a real interesting place because, you know, you've known me for a long time, and when I was back in California, I belonged to that Eastern group, the Satsangis, I explored that Eastern path at great length, 3-4 years, and I did the vegetarianism, I did the no alcohol, the whole, you know, the moral life, the whole thing, and they kept saying, well, you can be a Satsangi and a Christian, they don't interfere with each other, but the truth of it was that when the Maharaj passed on, because he is supposed to be God incarnate, he would move himself to another body. And there was no bloodline to this. He could move himself to his nephew, and they would recognize him, his soul, I mean, understand.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. And the nephew then, instead of his son or his whatever, you know. Well, I wrestled with that for a very long time, and I had been accepted for initiation, and I had been attending church the whole time. And I finally sat down with a man who, it turned out, had been a Satsangi and left. And I knew him very well, and I sat down with him, and I said, so why did you leave? Because I'm really wrestling with this. And he looked me right in the face, and he said, if you embrace them and you believe their precept that the Maharaj is God incarnate, you have therefore negated everything that Christ did on the cross. And I almost fell over. And I thought, this man is absolutely, and I had never seen it in that light. And again, if you don't ask questions, if you don't make the twists and turns, if you don't go left and right, I would have never seen that particular piece. And I went, oh, aha. And I have another one real quick. You know, people walk around talking about karma. This is the end of a karmic cycle. And I've used that myself, meaning this is the end of the physical laws of, you know, for every action, there's an opposite equal reaction. But truthfully, in the Eastern religions, karma is you do something bad, you get something bad back, although they say it's not good or bad karma, it is just karma. And I read the most wonderful piece the other day in a book called Lazarus Rising. And the woman author, I don't have it at hand, but the author said, or Lazarus Awakening, and what she said was, if you believe in karma, then you negate grace. So there, you either have a choice of one or the other. And I thought, oh, I was just blown out of my mind on that, and I thought, this is absolutely stunning. And look how far I've come down my path where these little doors are being kicked open, and I have a whole new way of presenting what I understand is truth.
The detours.
Detours, yeah.
the detours that teach us so much. That is such a profound statement to me.
Absolutely.
If you believe in karma, you negate, or the belief in karma negates grace. Wow. That's And you know what? It's right there in front of your face. You just don't see it until somebody says it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was just an astonishing. It was so wonderful, and it's so freeing. Because, see, to me, the best part about being on a spiritual path is skipping. You don't have to walk, and you don't have to trudge, and you don't have to slug it through the mud. You know, once you get it and you got a hold of it, you have to skip and be happy and look at the flowers and the blooms. And yes, days can be very, very hard. I understand that. I live them myself. But for the most part, you get to play on this path.
I really think that that's just such a brilliant point that you just made, because it really isn't about, the path isn't, as you said, it's not what goes on the outside. It's what develops on the inside. That's that harmony. I think that's that maturation, that place on the spiritual path that we all strive to get, where even though the world is your world, the world, things may be, I'm in a dark day. It doesn't have to be dark inside. You can still, you know, watch the beautiful leaves and the butterflies and the flowers and enjoy them.
Yes. And some days are just, you know, I'm going to sit and have a cup of tea and put my feet up, and that's okay with me.
Yeah.
You know, because you're tired, or because no matter who we are, we're still physical. We're still here in the physical body, on the physical plane, dealing with the everydayness of being here.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It is the grace that makes the bad days acceptable.
The spiritual body compared to the physical body, I mean, the physical body is dense, and I'm intending the pun. It is dense. I mean, I don't care how anybody tries to, you know, you and I both, I have clients and they're, you know, all beautiful people for sure, whose belief systems are very different than mine. And for some, it's like it's karmic. Everything is predictability. They chose this particular, these life lessons before they came with people to learn the lessons from, and they have all these contracts, and then you just keep doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until you each agree that you learn whatever you want to learn. And that's a belief system. It's not my belief system. I don't have a problem with the belief system. But then my question is, because the spiritual body comes into this dense existence and seems to forget about 85% or more, 90% of all those plans that it made before it got dense, then no wonder we're doing it over and over again.
I don't know. I have a lot of problems with that. That is not my belief, but that's, you know.
It's one of those things. It's one of the paths. Of course, it's one of the paths that I went down, you know? That's another part of that detour. It's another detour that I went down. And then I got down to whatever river, stream, vale, little rise in the road, and went, oh, wait, this isn't working for me. It's too narrow.
Right, right. And you're absolutely right about that, because I don't know how many people I've met that have said to me, this was my soulmate. I'm sure we had a contract and we were supposed to come here and be together and have this life of healing and blah, blah, blah. And I don't understand why she left. I don't know why this has happened. And I'm thinking, wow.
Right.
You know, gee whiz. First of all, I do believe there are people that you are closer to by soul than others. And you're right. I've never met so many people who got here and forgot what they were supposed to be doing, and didn't find their way back and walked away from something that was, quote, quote, a sure thing. And I said, so I said to one of the people I was working with, I said, you know, I don't believe that you have one soulmate. It just doesn't make sense to me. You talk about a God that would be so unkind. You get to, so you're supposed to meet your soulmate on the westbound train, you know, going into the sunset or the eastbound, whatever, but westbound train going into the sunset. And your friend forgets to show up or is 2 minutes late and the train pulls out.
Right.
You know, what kind of a God is that? I mean, I'm sorry, that's just a, so there's more than one person for everybody. There just is. And it's your understanding about life that allows that to come into your heart.
Right. Well put.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, I, you know, there are those things. But, you know, I was reading something the other day by Carolyn Miss. Interesting writer. And what she said is, the new age needs to grow up. It's been around 10, 15 years. We've had all the experimentation. The new age needs to stand up and stand for something and grow up. And I thought, you know, because what you're talking about with the contracts and all that, that was part of that whole new age thing that came out. Which I think we all tried it. We all put on that robe of spirituality to
right.
see how it felt. And I quite agree. You know, that's just the maturation. You get to a point where you can say, I've tried that. It doesn't work.
My pretty standard line is, you know, the new age that we've been talking about for the last 15 or 20 years is right around the corner, and we're in third stage labor, and nobody's liking it.
Right.
It's getting pretty painful. If in point of fact, there aren't some complications with the coming delivery, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And for some reason that message never came in those days when we were, you know, waiting for the bliss to show up with the coming of the age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show. This is BBS Radio. You can call in with your questions for Ellen and I, Ellen Doreen, Melanie Thomas. Any personal question, any advice, guidance that we may be able to offer you, we are here and ready to do so. And the call-in number, again, toll-free call-in number, and there's no charge for the phone or for our services at this moment or any moment on the air. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. Again, the phone number is 888-627-6008. And if you'd like to call in and share with us your experience of your spiritual detour, your spiritual path, we still have about 15 minutes or so left of the show today. And we'd love to hear what your experience is. And, you know, maybe you have some questions, some reaction, some response to something that one of us said that you would like to share with us, or you would like to ask us, or some insights that you would like to shed on the material and the information that we've been discussing today. We would love to hear from you. Again, that call-in number is 888-627-6008, toll-free. This is the Mel and Ellen Show, and you're listening to BBS Radio streaming. Glad to have you. So what do you consider your biggest, what was your biggest detour? What would you consider your biggest detour?
Oh.
I know, that's like, slip that in there right there. And
I think, actually, I think the set song was the biggest off track that I took. Just because the return from that had such a profound, lasting impact. And I think that we've all gone through periods that were dry, where we feel so disconnected, and we're really not, we're very connected. But that would have been one of those periods, again, where I was trying to fit into a convention, where I was trying to do what other people were doing. Again, it was during a period of time when the Eastern religions and cultures were lifted to a pedestal just because they were different and new, and there was Zen and there was Buddha and there was, you know, all these things, and it was such a peaceful place to be. But they're very politically structured. I don't want to get into political argument or discussion about it, but they're very structured. The Eastern, the Indian religion is structured to a caste system. You know, you're happy with your lot in life and you're really good at it and you keep a smile on your face. When you die, you get to come back up a couple of steps and higher up on the ladder. Until that time, you just smile and be a good person, because that's showing how happy you are to do the service of God where you are, and you don't need anything better and you don't need to improve yourself. That they don't want you to. And I'm not saying that critically. It works very, very, very well for the people it was structured for. It doesn't work really, really well here. For example, some of the people I knew at the time were doctors who were planning bigger and better practices. Some were attorneys that were expanding their clientele to make more money. How do you make that work with what you're being taught?
That's conflict.
Yeah, you begin to see the conflict. How can you walk around and say you're a vegetarian and read everything that you are attempting to put in your mouth, because this was there was no eggs, period. And so many things that we take for granted have eggs in it. And these folks would read the labels on candy and say, well, I was not very good. I thought I had this week. And they would sit around in a coffee fletch talking about the things they did wrong. And to me, that's forgiving each other. Well, it's all right. You did something to. Well, yeah, you did. You read the package. You ate the food. I don't mean to say much, but so to me, that was the hardest thing, because I kept trying to fit into that and make my soul understand it, and it just was. And it was a good 3-4 years. And so my walk back, and I read everything. I mean, it wasn't that I went into it. I read all the books. I read all the literature. I wrote to the Maharaj. I went to a convention in San Francisco where Maharaj was there. I actually, I looked him in the eye. It was a very interesting experience, because when he comes through a room, you're to keep your head down, especially women. And I was in the nursery doing seva, which is service, and one of the little children leaped out of, you know, the back of the room and ran forward to greet the Maharaj, because it was Daddy. I mean, you know, that's all right. And I went forward and picked the child up, and as I did, I looked up, and we connected eyes. And there was no question in my mind, Mel, that this man was not a holy man.
Right.
I am not in any way saying that he was full of spirit and full of life and full of merriment and full of grace and graciousness. And he looked at me and I nodded and he looked back. And at that very moment, I absolutely knew he was not God incarnate. He was a holy man, absolutely. Well, word spread all over the place that Maharaj had, you know, given grace to this white woman. Pardon me. So I had the experience of all of it, to the very top of the learning experience, and it still wasn't right, because my soul wasn't happy there. And
so that path was too narrow for you too.
Too narrow for me, because there's grace. I'll go back to it. There's grace.
That is such a profound statement. I'm writing that down. I mean, wow. I have never thought about it that way, and I'm sure a lot of people that are out listening today or anywhere who would hear that would not hear the profoundness of it. It makes me want to. It does make me want to be a little bit of an imp and pose that to some of my friends whose belief system follows that path, and get their reaction to, you know, what would they say to that? That's just amazing.
And that was really what God intended with grace anyway. I mean, when you really think about it, you know, when we talk about forgiveness and forgiving and all of that, it's all grace. I mean, that's what allows you the freedom to forgive is grace. And the fact that you are forgiven is grace. And it should fill you with that, oh boy, and excitement and lightness that allows you to skip and run down the path and embrace all the things you see. And I'm not saying that we do it every single day, because we don't. But it's like taking this heavy burden off your shoulders and saying, you don't have to do this, folks.
So right.
So, the sad song is what had been my longest detour. And I did, you know, Joseph Campbell was a wonderful person exploring.
Yeah.
The different, I can't think of it, different religions, different theories, different stories. And I did an awful lot. I would say my second longest would be the New Age path, if you really want to call it that, and exploring all the different religions and dabbling in this and dabbling in that. And I think that somewhere in there you cloak yourself in the best of all of it. And at least you really with nothing when it's over, when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of needing to hold on to something. If you have the best of everything, there's nothing that teaches you how to deal with the worst.
Well put. It's very well put. Hey, out there, you're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show. This is BBS Radio. We still have a few minutes left. I want to say hi to Helene. And you can call in 888-627-6008. The call is toll-free, and our expertise is available to you for about another 5 minutes toll-free. We have really, really enjoyed, this has been a really, really enjoyable walk down the spiritual path, looking at some of the detours, which we all have. We all have them. Plus, getting a little more definition, I believe I will say, to my notion, for example, of the spiritual path. It is like what Ellen said, it is a living thing. It's a living thing. Your spiritual path, my spiritual path, our spiritual path is a living thing. You can only be fed from a living thing in that way. The spirit, at least I think, I don't think the spirit can live off what is not alive and vivacious and active. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Hello, caller.
Yes, I'm here.
Your name is?
Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. Welcome to the Mel and Ellen Show. We have just a few minutes
Thank
left.
Thank you for having me. I happened to find my way to your show today and wanted to call in.
Really glad to get your call. How can we help you? And what would you like to today? Do you have a comment that you'd like to?
Just, you guys are really great. I think all your work is wonderful. And I am on my own spiritual path, and there has definitely been some zigs and zags, and, you know, I don't know. What kind of advice or anything do you guys have for me?
Your own spiritual path, and you've hit some zigs and zags, which you must have enjoyed hearing us talk about earlier. Ellen, this is Stacy we have on the air. Do you have any insight or information for Stacy at the moment?
Well, Stacy, you know, zigs and zags are a part of being human, and that's it. I think the best thing I would say to you right now is spirit will never let you fall. I don't mean fall down, but as long as you're working with spirit and listening and trying and achieving, they will, even if you feel like you've made a wrong decision, spirit will always be there with you. You're never abandoned on that. And they help guide you back, or they help lift the burden, or they help work with whatever it is that you feel like. Like I said, there's sometimes where you feel like you're not connected, but you really are. And it feels to me as though you're feeling like you've let spirit down, and you haven't. So know that you're in good company, and very well loved and honored in on the other side. So don't worry about that so much. And keep up keeping on, one foot in front of the other, and you're going to be doing fine.
I one of the things that comes up for me, Stacey, is something that Ellen said at the beginning of the show, and that's that issue of trust. And I think you're probably at a place, it feels like you're at a place right now where you're not sure about that trust business. And it is part of what builds our faith, is part of what builds our patience. But I agree with Ellen. You will come out the other side of this. I think your spiritual path is going to alter a little bit. Certainly feels that way. But then that's the nature of the spiritual detour. Really glad to have
you. Thank you, guys. I'm sorry, there's a weird connection.
Yeah.
We're sorry about the weird connection, too. Really, really glad, Stacey, to get your call. And I hope that that was helpful for you. And thank you so much for tuning in to the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. And like you said, keep on keeping on.
You bet.
Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. So we've just about come to the end of the show today. This is the Mel and Ellen Show with Ellen Doreen and Melanie Thomas. We've been talking about detours along the spiritual path. Really, really glad to have you aboard with us. And thank you, Stacey, for calling in. We hope that our discussions of the spiritual path, as well as the detours, our discussions about the detours along the spiritual path, will be helpful to you and give you some food for thought in the coming couple of weeks. Ellen, you have anything you want to say as we get ready to sign out today?
Real quick, I think our next show is in November 12th. And I think. And I just want to real quick say November 11th is Veterans Day. So please, all of us, let's remember to honor our troops. Both serving now and those who have served before, our freedom was bought and paid for by these people. So let's take a few minutes to remember them in our prayers and honor them wherever they are.
You got it. I think our next show is actually November 6th. So
okay.
We'll begin before then, so we'll have a chance to reinforce that message. Again, you've been listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. Really glad to have you aboard today. It was a very interesting and exciting topic, and I'm not too sure that we're totally exhausted it. Perhaps we'll have a couple of guests and upcoming and be able to look a little deeper, a little further into the spiritual path. And in the meantime, Ellen and I wish you all a joyful skip along your spiritual path. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will be looking forward to talking to you again on November 6th, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much. Bye now.